Warning, you may need some alcohol before watching this. This is a music video parody of Michael Jackson's Thriller and a tribute to the podcast Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson. It stars former WWE diva Shelly Martinez and media personality Sean Valentino, as well as former ProWrestling.net senior editor Rich Twilling. They host the weekly Pro Wrestling Top 5 for weekly wrestling top fives past and present. Check out their YouTube channel under the Pro Wrestling Top 5 and on my Twitter account at The WWE Podcast. Again, check out the Pro Wrestling Top 5 on YouTube today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin, thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh!
Oh,
my God!
Oh, my God!
Austin just gets stuck in the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Long time no see, and I hope everyone's doing well. I'm back in the saddle, hoping that everybody's doing well on this Monday, Columbus Day, October 9th, 2017. So I want to welcome everybody back. And if this is your first time joining me, you can check out my website. It's at WWEpodcast.com or on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. I'd really like if you take a quick look and let me know what you think. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I did do a complete revamp of the site. So if you love wrestling, you love wrestling content, clearly you do if you're listening to this podcast, I really do encourage you to check it out. And also, if you have a moment and you like the show, please give me a 5-star rating on iTunes, which is actually now Apple Podcasts, and Spreaker, anywhere that allows reviews, please do so. It really helps out the show. I'd love to be able to hear what you guys think about the show and how maybe it can be improved, because this is for you guys as much as it is for me. So again, welcome everybody. And we are in the swing of baseball playoffs, for those of you that care. As a Yankees fan, we're alive. We're down 2-1 and probably still going to lose a series, but for a night anyway, it was a thrilling victory. And those of you that are Yankee fans feel what I'm feeling. And those of you that aren't or don't give a damn about baseball are probably wondering why the hell I'm talking about baseball. So let's talk about Hell in a Cell 2017. And overall, I would give this show a B, maybe even a B plus. It was a good to very good show. I liked the show. It was a heel heavy night. Yes, heel heavy night. Natalya retains the women's championship. The Usos reclaim the WWE SmackDown Live Tag Team Championships. And you had Randy Orton beat Rusev. Yes. Does anybody really care? No. Did we all just want to see the RKO? Yes. And in a shocking assist, we had Sami Zayn come to the aid of Kevin Owens. So we're going to get to that. Let me know what you guys think. Again, you can send me an email if you want at info@wwepodcast.com or send me a tweet at the WWE Podcast on Twitter. Let me know what you guys thought about WWE Hell in a Cell 2017, because it was I think it was a very good show, a little bit long. It ran 3 hours and 33 minutes. It was lengthy. It did challenge your attention. But overall, as I said, I enjoyed the show. I mean, you had Baron Corbin capture the United States Championship. Bobby Roode defeating Dolph Ziggler. You had the Fashion Files return, Jinder Mahal retaining against Shinsuke Nakamura. So there was a lot of content here. Again, a very heel-heavy night. And so let's start right at the top of the show with what everybody's talking about, and that is Shane McMahon losing to Kevin Owens with the assist of Sami Zayn. I thought, and I posted this on Twitter before the pay-per-view, that I think and still believe that this is and has been Shane McMahon's best match since his return a couple of years ago. I really enjoyed the build. I think these two have a much more natural chemistry than him in that six-man tag later last year when he was part of Team SmackDown. Didn't enjoy that. His Hell in a Cell with Undertaker, I really didn't enjoy that. It just felt forced. This program with Kevin Owens felt natural. There was a logical build to the story. You have Kevin Owens, who is great on the mic, makes you feel like it's real. I really enjoyed the video packages that WWE put together for this. I also enjoy, and here's something you don't see very often, the slow build burn to this match. We saw it coming. We even thought it might have happened at SummerSlam, but they put it off, and smartly, rightly so. I really enjoyed the long build to this, all the way back to when Kevin Owens was drafted to SmackDown Live. I love how they went back that far, and you don't see that too often. You know, typically, the build is 3-4 weeks, and then the program moves on. But in this case, this was a long-term program, and I really liked it. Now, where do they go from here? I don't know. Sami Zayn clearly is heel. I enjoyed that he came out with his hair disheveled. Kind of, I think he was indicating that his character is taking a change, is undergoing a mental struggle backstage. So it's interesting that Sami Zayn turns heel, and you have Kevin Owens heel. You have Shane McMahon lose. And where does this leave this program? Does Shane have a rematch with Kevin Owens? I don't know. I mean, I don't see Shane McMahon being an ongoing competitor, nor should he be. And some may argue that Shane McMahon should not be toe-to-toe or on an equal playing field having an actual chance to beat Kevin Owens, the son of the promoter, the guy who has more gray hair than arguably Vince McMahon. You know, he comes in, plays in the sandbox when he wants, and leaves. And to some extent, I do agree with that. I think I felt more that way with The Undertaker versus Shane than I did with Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. It seems as if every match Shane is in, there's some kind of gimmick to it. Obviously, AJ Styles and Shane at WrestleMania felt a little bit underwhelming. I think the stage of WrestleMania really hurt the believability that Shane could go toe-to-toe with AJ Styles, one of the best performers in the world. Best wrestlers. Screw the word performance. The best wrestler in the world of AJ Styles. You have a guy that, as I said, just kind of comes in, plays in the sandbox once, twice a year, and we're supposed to believe that he can go toe-to-toe with AJ Styles. So, as I mentioned, between the Undertaker match at Hell in a Cell with a couple of WrestleManias ago, the six-man tag team elimination match with SmackDown versus Raw, and then you have the obviously Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon and AJ Styles and Shane McMahon. Out of all of those programs, I think this one was the best one. Not just from a storyline perspective, which I think the storytelling was very, very well done, as I said, but from an actual in-ring storytelling. Not just the verbal, not just the visual from the video packages and so forth, but the actual story told in the match itself, I think was very well done. Would I give this an A+? No. Would I give it match of the year? No. But I would absolutely give this, I would put this at Shane's best match since his return to WWE. I really would. This guy clearly is in shape. He is built. Shane McMahon, I think, it's underestimated just how muscular this guy is, how athletic he is. I think, you know, the clothing he wears hides it. At times, you can see just how big his arms are. He does a lot of jiu-jitsu training and high intensity cardio sessions and things of that nature. So this guy's in shape, clearly. I mean, he was able to go in there at 40 something years of age and put on a hell of a show and take the bumps he did. And yes, I am with you on this, that the padding on the announce tables was a bit much for me. Maybe they could have done a different camera angle, but clearly you could see that it was about 2 inches of padding. It looked like a big, thick wrestling mat, amateur wrestling mat, that was covered over the announce tables. Both the Spanish announce table, which is the monthly or bi-monthly now sacrificial lamb for every pay-per-view, and the Corey Graves announce table with Byron Saxton and Todd Phillips. So both of those clearly had a very thick mat. And, you know, I'm all for the safety of the performers. But from a camera angle, I mean, I think they could, I don't know, maybe they could have done something to make it not look like they prefabricated this spot. That did it in a little bit for me, seeing that both were very, you know, thickly padded. So that, okay, now, okay, well, somebody's going through both tables. You knew that was happening because I saw it. Because, you know, we saw those, you know, those thick mats. So let me leave it there before I get on a rant. But look, the spots, regardless of that thick mat or not, they hurt like hell. I'm sure. There's no way around it. There's no perfect way to fall. But, I mean, those thick mats absolutely are beneficial to the bumpy of that spot. When you look back at Mick Foley, they didn't even clear off the announce table. They just threw his ass off the top of the cell, which makes you realize just how much Mick Foley is willing to give. I mean, how much the WWE has progressed, I guess, in a way, and regressed in another. So I love the spot, by the way, or the sign in the audience. If anybody else saw it, we want TV-14. Loved it. And to some extent, yes, I'm with you, but I don't think they need blood and cursing to have the ratings go up and the product increase. I could do without the Susan G. Komen garbage, which I'll get to that in a moment. And some of you may be offended. Maybe he doesn't like charities. How does breast cancer not top a fake product like wrestling? And I'll get to that in a moment because I've got a lot to say on that. And rant alert on that. And my God, it's not a rant about Roman Reigns. No, it's not. It is going to be a rant about WWE's transparent, self-promoting partnership of being a warrior with Susan G. Komen. So we'll get to that. We'll table that. We'll come back to it. But I love that sign. That was pretty funny. Kevin Owens and Shane battling on top of the cell for an extended period of time. I don't think we've seen that before for at least that length of time. And I think everybody legitimately was cringing or at least had a nervous energy that the cell was going to collapse one of the chain link fence pieces were going to break off and the roof of the cell was going to give and somebody was going to come crashing to the mat a la Mick Foley in 1998. We're all replaying that in our minds and I really believe that, man, and you just kept, they kept slamming each other on the same section of the cell, which, you know, it doesn't take an engineer to know that the more stress you put on the same piece of material, the higher chance of that material giving way. And you have Kevin Owens pushing 300 and Shane at 2. And so, as Corey Graves said, 500 pounds of flesh up there. Man, that really put that cell to the test. I mean, you had Big E earlier in the night with the tag team championship match with the Usos basically been part of the cell. The side of the cell with some of his suicide dives. And so I was really worried for Kevin Owens and Shane up at the top of the cell. I really was. Not from a selfish fan perspective of I want to see somebody go through the cell. I actually was nervous for them as a person and thinking about them as real people. I was concerned. I think that Kevin Owens taking the 10-foot bump was probably his way of pleasing the audience, although I'm sure that they wanted to see the 20-foot bump and not the 10-foot bump, but it was satisfying nonetheless. I think both competitors came out of the match elevated And that's a plus. You have Sami Zayn now injecting himself into the story here. And is it Shane versus Sami Zayn? I mean, I don't know. Does Shane bring in somebody to combat both of these heels now? I mean, who is the top face on SmackDown? You have Shinsuke, you have Randy, right? I mean, you would argue that one of those two are. And Randy, with his match in Rusev, and I guess I'll cover that quickly. I think that, does anybody care? I mean, Rusev, unfortunately, has been downgraded to a mid-card guy that gets occasional heat, but in the end, you know he's losing. And Randy Orton getting the RKO and the win tells me that this program is done and over with, and that they're moving on. So I don't know. I don't know where this puts Randy and Rusev. As I said, clearly they're on, I think, different paths now that they have concluded this program. So I don't know where Shane and Sammy and Kevin Owens go. You can't have Shane, the commissioner, continue to compete in matches where he is a authority figure. Shane is the authority figure. You can't have that continue. But I will say this. Does Shane and Sami Zayn intrigue you guys? I don't know if it intrigues me, but maybe Shane finds a partner to tag team against these two. I don't know. But I'm intrigued by this because it's a change of character since Sammy's debut. Was it probably almost 2 years ago since Sammy came up to the roster? 3 years ago since he debuted against John Cena and injured his shoulder before even the bell rang. So I don't know. I'm intrigued. And more questions than answers, as Jim Ross says, is a good thing when you close the program. I think Kevin Owens not losing is a positive because it's Shane McMahon. You're elevating talent. You can't elevate an authority figure that isn't an actual consistent day-to-day performer. So to me, you have a new alliance, a new heel team of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So I'm intrigued. Great effort by both men. Scary by both men. Scary moments. Scary minutes on top of the cell by both men. Shane, I'm sure, is waking up bruised, battered, and legitimately hurting this morning. But great effort by both men. And bravo to not just the match, as I said, but the whole program, the video, the build-up, everything. This was Shane's best match to date since he returned. And many of you will say, well, that's not saying much. But you know what? Shane McMahon, as I said, this guy is in his mid-40s, late 40s, okay? And he's still doing what he's doing. And you know what? The crowd was into it. It's the main event. It deserved to be the main event. And you may say that's not saying much, but I think it is. I really believe it is. Show me another match that was better. Okay, the tag team title match? Sure. But from a story perspective, I challenge you to tell me which was better. What match was better on the card? So that's that. And let me just take a moment here. I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. But on the other side, folks, I'm going to say some things that are a bit controversial. Some things you guys may not like. But it's the damn truth of how I feel about WWE and their whole charity campaign of Stephanie McMahon really leading the way here, leading this WWE stomach-churning charitable organization that WWE now is. So I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you guys about that, so stay right here. Warning, you may need some alcohol before watching this. This is a music video parody of Michael Jackson's Thriller and a tribute to the podcast Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson. It stars former WWE diva Shelly Martinez and media personality Sean Valentino, as well as former ProWrestling.net senior editor Rich Twilling. They host the weekly Pro Wrestling Top 5 for weekly wrestling top fives past and present. Check out their YouTube channel under the Pro Wrestling Top 5 and on my Twitter account at the WWE Podcast. Again, check out the Pro Wrestling Top 5 on YouTube today. All right, guys, now listen. This may be offensive to some of you, and it's not supposed to be. This is not me trying to get attention. This is not me trying to be a total jack wagon. It's a PG show. This is me speaking from the heart as a wrestling fan. And it's been exactly 20 years that I've been a fan. 20 years. My very first match, the match that pulled me into this genre, this form of entertainment, this sport, yeah, I said sport, was Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood in October of 97. The debut of Kane. One of the best stories ever told. One of the best storylines ever produced and to come out of WWE was the Undertaker-Kane storyline of Paul Bearer introducing Kane, his brother's alive, Shawn Michaels being trapped in a cell with the Undertaker, who had avoided Taker up until that point and used DX to take the lumps so he could escape the Undertaker, putting Undertaker in a body bag, Undertaker sitting up, hitting Undertaker in the head with a chair, when, my God, you could use chair shots to the head. And instead of the formula, even with a cowbell, it's shot to the gut, hit him in the back. Shot to the gut, hit him in the back, which is so formulaic and unrealistic. I understand that there's concussion issues, but it just looks so silly sometimes. Anyway, so that was the first match that really pulled me in. And I still love to watch that match. It's a very extremely well laid out match. Yes, since it was the first Hell in a Cell, it makes it that much more special. But you have two Hall of Fame personalities in that match. And it was an awesome match. And since then, I've been a fan. It's been 20 years to the day that I have been a WWE fan. Went through the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, the Reality Era, whatever era we're in now. Been through it all. And stuck through it all, even through the crappy times. And so, over the last 5 years, I've seen WWE transform from wrestling to entertainment to now this, the hell with the product. The hell with kayfabe. We're going to cannibalize our own product at the expense of letting everybody know that we are this glamorous, public-serving, sensitive organization that cares about everyone, and we're here to bring smiles to people's faces. It makes me sick. This is not a charitable organization. Okay, at least... here's the thing, and let me just preface this up front. I am all for and support all of the causes. Connor's Cure, great. Susan G. Komen, fight against breast cancer, great. Although Susan G. Komen, if you look up, you know, some things and dirt about them, you can dig it up. So that's not an organization that I particularly like, but I approve and support of, because they need my approval, the breast cancer fight. Great. It's a great cause. Connor's Cure. Great. What is it? The Star Be a Star campaign. Anti-bullying. Great. Because bullying is a problem, especially with social media these days. And kids, we get it. Great cause. I support all of that. Here's my problem. If WWE wants to support them, great. I think that's great. But here's the problem. Here's where I get... angry. I get, and maybe I don't know how, if I have a right to be, but I am, and that's the way it is, and I don't care what anybody says or thinks. This is how I feel, and this isn't me being a narcissist. This is me wanting to believe in the product. We know it's not a real product, right? But we want to believe it is when we're watching it. It's like watching a movie. It's watching a movie, and when a movie is great, we become emotionally invested in it. But the thing with WWE now is they are cannibalizing their own product by the methods that in which they show the public and tell the public that they are supporting these causes. And they do it by taking intermissions. It's an intermission. They take breaks in the middle of their show, in the middle of their product. By having heels and baby faces who are just in a program 15 minutes before stand side by side And they have Dana Warrior cheering on these breast cancer survivors. And I think that's great that they are breast cancer survivors, and more power to them. It's great. But it's WWE's motive that makes me sick and angry and embarrassed and just frustrated with their methods of philanthropy. That this is the future of WWE makes me sick. It's the taking a break in the middle of the program, and for Raw, for SmackDown, multiple times a year they do this. Okay, the Vegas shootings, great. Take a moment at the beginning of the show. Everybody come out. That's fine. That is a tragedy. That's like 9/11, or not to that magnitude, but same type of incident. That's everybody come out, have a moment of silence. But this is a ongoing, consistent. You guys want to run video packages? That is, fine, run video packages, but don't take a break in the middle of the show of telling fans whatever, everything you just saw, just put it aside. It doesn't matter. Because we're going to have everybody who has suddenly had an issue with each other, beating each other in the ring, beating each other up in the ring, now stand side by side to cheer on three women to get three replica women's championship belts to hold them up, and we're all supposed to cheer. Isn't this great? Look what WWE is doing. They're recognizing them. Oh, we're going to turn everything pink, and we're going to run 40,000 video packages. And we're going to take Raw and SmackDown and just say the hell with it. F the product. We're going to take these competitors, these women that hate each other, suddenly love each other and clapping and smiling for these three women. It's ridiculous. And those of you that don't believe me or just think I'm an a-hole, if you're watching a movie and it's an awesome movie, it's a great movie. Do movies take intermissions in the middle of the effing show when you're really invested and have all the actresses, all the actors and actresses who are protagonists and antagonists sitting next to each other and talking about the movie and how it was great to work with so-and-so and this was great? And no, you don't. I understand that the cause is bigger than anything because it's life and death, but you can still support these causes when nobody's looking. You can still support these causes without making it self-fulfilling and making it a cannibalization of the current product. It is ridiculous that you continue to have Stephanie McMahon, who, if you look at any of her social media, is suddenly this martyr and this charitable figurehead of WWE that forgets that she's in a wrestling company, and it's a freaking wrestling company. It's a wrestling. Oh, by the way, Stephanie, what does WWE stand for? World Wrestling Entertainment. Maybe she forgot what WWE stood for. Maybe she just thinks WWE is, we are a charitable organization. I don't know. But if you look at any of her stuff, it's never about wrestling. It's this, let me expand the brand. What is the brand? How can I make somebody smile today? Why does everything have to... I don't understand that she forgets she's running a wrestling company. Everything with her is, oh, I'm on this show. Oh, I'm on this show. I'm doing this. Look what we're doing over here. Aren't we great? Aren't we just so soft and cuddly? Look at what we're doing. It's sickening because the motive behind it is... it's self-fulfilling and transparent, and it's cannibalizing the product that I have loved and we have loved for years as wrestling fans. Oh my God, I'm saying wrestling. That's such a freaking dirty word. No, it is wrestling. You may say entertainment, sports entertainment. That's not a thing. Sports entertainment is not a thing. Wrestling is a thing. Wrestling is a form of entertainment. You could argue baseball is sports entertainment. Football is sports entertainment because it's entertainment through sports. And if wrestling is a sport, then it's wrestling entertainment, which is just wrestling. So this whole campaign of WWE, and I don't see it stopping. In fact, I see it getting worse. And Stephanie McMahon is the ringleader of this. I don't know. And you know what? I know why they're doing it. I get why they're doing it. They're a company. and they're a company that is publicly traded, and then they have all these sponsors, and that's, I understand they have to serve these sponsors. I get it. But do they understand that the product that they are putting on television, they are telling the audience through doing these eye-rolling, stomach-churning, just ridiculous, constant intermissions and shows is hurting their own product that brought them to the dance? It is crazy. It is angering as a fan to go from what they were about wrestling and making it real. And yes, we all know behind the scenes it's not real. But when we're watching it, we want to believe it's real. It's like Santa Claus. Christmas comes around. We wish, a lot of us probably still wish we believed because it's magical, right? It's a more special time of year, especially as a kid. You remember just how awesome it was, those of you that did believe or whatever religion you are. Doesn't matter. It's that concept. And you don't have movies that have intermissions. So, okay, now I'm starting to repeat myself. And those of you who listen to me know I do that from time to time. But that is my rant. And I could not put that in 140 characters. I was shaking writing that tweet. Because every time I see this, it's every time. It's, oh, it's Black History Month. Oh, it's Women's Rights Month. Oh, well, there's nothing going on, but we're going to make something up. Where was Susan G. Coates? Look how great we are. F you to Stephanie McMahon. A big F you for making wrestling secondary. You're making wrestling secondary in a wrestling company. And if you support these causes, as I said, great. Put up a WWE.com post. You want to do a couple video packages? Fine. Okay. But they even get tiresome after, you know, four or five of them every show. It's such a soft company. It's such a soft company. And it's turning away the fans that helped you build where you are today. The fans that were 20 years ago, they're in the Attitude Era. We know it's not going to be Attitude Era again. I'm not looking for the Attitude Era again. But I'm looking for a product that cares about the product that's in the ring. And they actually want to make fans invested emotionally. And you can't do that if you have your own company eating alive the believability during the show. It's unbelievable that they have made serving the publicly traded company and serving the stockholders and shareholders first and all these people that are sponsoring. And look what WWE's doing. We put smiles on people's faces. Here's a rainbow for you and a unicorn for you. Here's a lollipop and a teddy bear and a puppy. And we're not going to make you, we don't want to make you cry. We want to make you smile because that's what WWE's about. We're suddenly a charitable organization. We are a charitable, we're like Reading Rainbow. That's what WWE, they are like Reading Rainbow. Why don't they just have a Reading Rainbow Monday Night Raw? That's what it is now. It is, do I miss the chair shots and the blood? Well, of course, a sick part of me does because that's what made it as a male viewer in my 30s now. Of course, it's in my DNA. I miss that stuff. But everybody's so sensitive now. Everybody's so sensitive about what you say and what you do. Even when Jinder Mahal talked about Shinsuke being Mr. Miyagi. Even the crowd chanted, that's too far. How is that too far? He's referencing one of the most well-known movie characters of all time, calling him Miyagi. He didn't say anything other than that. How is that offensive? So they're both Asian. Great. Mr. Miyagi is too. I guess the implication is, oh, he's Asian, so that's offensive? What? How is that true? There's no truth in that. So the fact that everybody is so sensitive and everybody has a voice. This whole society is one of the catalysts for WWE just going with the flow. And not only that, but spearheading it instead of being their own damn product and doing what made them so damn successful. The problem is everybody's so sensitive nowadays. Everybody's like, well, that's offensive. That's offensive. You can't say that. You know what? F you. F you. You don't need to be politically correct all the time. I don't know when everybody suddenly got so damn sensitive about everything and everyone and dissecting everything everybody says. Instead of just worrying about what you're watching. Is it entertaining? Is it awesome? Are you invested? You know how you're invested? You don't sit and wonder you don't sit and think about if something's real. You just believe that it is and you don't even know it. You get lost in time. And when you're watching a show and you're clenching your fists, or you are yelling, you're emotionally invested. And Stephanie McMahon and company, and her brand extension, or whatever, her brand ambassador, whatever, I'm trying not to swear, whatever her title is killing kayfabe. And you may say, kayfabe's dead. You know what? But it can be reborn. It can be, it can have a bit of life every show. Why would I want to watch a show that their own company doesn't want to make me believe? So, F all of that stuff. I really, as I said, you know, some of you may be like, this guy's a jerk. He doesn't think, you know what? It's all great causes. But when it's done selfishly and transparently and for the benefit of the company that is doing all of this public relations and notoriety and press conferences and all that crap, it is done for the wrong reasons. And you have the head of the company, the management, believe that that's more important than the wrestling. Because yes, believe it or not, you guys are all and still will be known for wrestling. Believe that. All right, guys, I'm going to take a breath. We're going to come right back. All right, let's roll quickly through just some other thoughts I had about the show. I'm not going to dissect every single match just because in the interest of time. And as I said, we already went over Shane and Kevin Owens. I just want to talk quickly about Charlotte Flair and her loss to Natalya. I liked it. I think that the near passing of Rick really helped out Charlotte become organically more liked and have sympathy on her character because it's a real event. I also enjoyed Natalya and her heel character taking the easy way out and attacking viciously the leg of Charlotte throughout that match and getting herself intentionally disqualified to keep the belt. Love it. It puts good heat on Natalya. And Charlotte, I got to give her props for selling the leg throughout the match. Selling, folks, selling. You don't see the long-term selling of a match too often. And her selling that leg, not just for a minute or two or directly after the move is done and then she forgets about it, you know, 2.5 minutes later, she sold that leg like it actually hurt. And it was a great job because that's a great way to tell the story. Is this underdog, now injured, the babyface, the good guy, right, is injured and she's trying to fight through. He's trying to fight through, whoever it may be. And then you have the cowardly act of the heel when Charlotte was taking over, hitting her in the leg with a chair. And Natalya could have swung a little bit more realistically. She almost like she was just kind of tapping Charlotte's leg. But I guess I'm being nitpicky. I enjoyed the match. I think these two have a rematch coming. I'm looking forward to it. They're very good in the ring together from a one-on-one perspective, which you don't see a lot in the women's divisions because WWE is too afraid to put two women in there one-on-one and have them give a flop of a match. You know, how many times have we seen three ways and four ways and five ways and six ways and battle royals for the women? I like when it's one-on-one. It should be one-on-one. In this case, we got a very good match. Props and hats off to both women who put on a great match. I'm not going to say performance because this is not a magic show, okay? Nor is it a play. But I enjoyed it. As I said, rematch is coming, and I could see Charlotte taking the long way to recapturing the women's championship, and I think she should. And I think it's going to be a great story told. So good match here. I enjoyed it. Fashion Files returned. I watch it because it's sometimes it's just one of those things that I don't find funny anymore. There's not a whole lot of funny, organically funny dialogue anymore. I think it's might have run its course, but it's weird. I can't take my eyes off of it. I don't know why. Even if it is, it's not exactly good programming, but for some reason I can't stop watching. So whatever, it is what it is. And then Bobby Roode defeats Dolph Ziggler. I think that Dolph losing was not a surprise. You have Bobby Roode who won as a heel, but it was turnabout's fair game was the justification, I believe, by Tom Phillips, or was it Byron Saxon? One of the commentators said that, and that's true. So you're covering for the babyface using the tights because turnabout's fair play with Ziggler trying to pull the tights of Roode and Roode just doing what he was trying to, what was Ziggler was doing to him. So it's justified. And then Ziggler, you know, losing is, as I said, not surprising. Ziggler's kind of the gatekeeper to new stars coming in to the business. You have him, you know, he faced Shinsuke Nakamura, lost. You have him facing Bobby Roode, lost. They put them in there with Dolph Ziggler because Ziggler's a safe choice. And Ziggler still, while he is doing this entrance gimmick that is just nothing now, his whole gimmick is just coming out to nothing, bare bones, is still not working for me. I think Ziggler's still floating around, but I don't know what they're doing with him. But this program probably goes on another pay-per-view, especially with the post-match beatdown. Jinder Mahal losing to, or Jinder Mahal beating Shinsuke. Clean, as I would say. I'm sorry, that was a clean victory for Jinder. And that was probably the most surprising, was not that Jinder won and retained, which I think makes sense still. Unbelievably, we're still talking about Jinder Mahal as champion. But you have Shinsuke lose clean after the Singh brothers were ejected. Yes, the Kinshasa was applied and you had Jinder grab the rope, but you know, Jinder still, after the Singh brothers were ejected, won fair and square. There was no low blows, no tights being pulled, no ropes being used, no foreign objects, nothing. He just won with one coloss. And I think that is surprising. So, I don't know. Does Shinsuke face Jinder one more time? Or does Jinder move on? I still don't believe that Jinder is putting on great matches at this point. He's improving slowly. I think he looks like he's moving in mud at times. He's not as quick as I think he should be. But from where he was, I think that, you know, you can't do anything other than commend Jinder Mahal. I could do without the snarling face that he gives all the time with him, like, crinkling his nose and his lip or whatever he does constantly. It's like that. It's just the face he gives 95% of the time. And I don't know, it's like forced. Or it's just, you got to look mean and nasty as a heel, damn it. Like Vince telling Jinder backstage, you got to look mean, damn it. Maybe it's just burned in Jinder's brain that's what he has to look like all the time. And it's a good face. I think there would be less is more with that face. It's just constant. I don't know. That's just me. So overall, I mean, I'm shocked that Jinder, the way that Jinder beat Shinsuke, I think kind of hurt Shinsuke. That I think was damaging to Shinsuke. I really do believe that, especially when the tables were now turned and it's an even playing field and you have the babyface lose. Kind of surprising. Usos and New Day, obviously, I mean, that was an awesome match. I think the crowd agreed. We all expected it to be. And Usos won clean. The way that this match was billed was, hey, this was going to be the final. This all ends in Hell in a Cell. But we've heard WWE say this before, that this is the final match in this series. And it's not the final match in the series. I mean, a la Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens last year, and that feud continued. So this very well could continue. I think these men, all five men, have awesome chemistry, great chemistry. But the New Day lose, and Usos are back in the driver's seat with the tag team titles. So I think this rivalry might continue. I'd give it a 50-50 chance. You know what? I hope it does. But the problem is, where do you go from here? Hell in a Cell is the finality of a rivalry. So, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of questions to be answered on SmackDown this week. SmackDown Live, excuse me. So, oh, by the way, Baron Corbin defeating AJ Styles. Or defeating Ty Dillinger off of the Phenomenal Forearm from AJ Styles. I'm on board with that, too. I think Baron needed a little bit of momentum after he lost the briefcase and lost to Ty Dillinger. I mean, he's been a kind of a spiral downward. And Baron Corbin capturing the United States Championship, I think, is a positive, not just for Baron Corbin, but I think it's also an elevation and a sign that AJ Styles could be the next contender for Jinder Mahal in his WWE Championship. After Shinsuke lost twice at SummerSlam and now Hell in a Cell, AJ Styles drops the belt to Corbin, is a sign to me that AJ is probably moving on to bigger and better things and getting back in the WWE title picture with Jinder Mahal. So maybe that's where they're going. I hope it is. I really do believe that. And maybe AJ finally captures it in a couple of months from Jinder, and then you have Shinsuke win the Rumble, and it's Shinsuke versus AJ at WrestleMania. So hey, that's still on the card too. So, all right, guys. That is everything I have for today. It's great to be back. I'm glad that everybody was able to stick with me, and I appreciate all of the feedback and asking me, where the hell's your show? My apologies, guys. Things have been crazy. Not in a bad way. Just as I might have told you guys, or your listener, you don't. I got a different job, a new job. It's 9 to 5, though, Monday through Friday. So it kills my... I used to have every other Friday off, and now that was when I did my podcast. And now that I don't, it's hard to find time to come home at, you know, 2 hours after I normally did to do dinner. I have a dog. I got all this stuff to do. It's hard. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening, and I will be back. A pinky promise. Maybe later this week. You know what? I'm going to try to do two shows this week and shock the world. And then, maybe I'll have a little Susan G. Komen in there too, just for kicks. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.